Hey everybody, Pete Gluzek here for Bash University TV, and I feel honored. I am with one of the greatest in the sport of bass fishing. It's, you gotta say that now, man. Four-time FLW AOY winner. I don't know how many tournaments that you've won. You just, you've really separated yourself at this point, and it's a treat to have you on the show, man.
I'm glad to be here. This is one of my favorite channels right here.
I like to hear that. Well, it's David Dudley, of course, for those of you that may be living under a rock. But Dave, we started fishing tournaments 20 plus years ago.
Yeah, it was a while ago. So, yeah, and it's funny, I forgot who it is, put some of those old footages up online, and you go back and you watch some of the like early invitational that we fished, and it's like, oh my gosh, I look like a kid, man. And then you see what we were wearing back then. It's hilarious. I know it's funny for me because I'm just like, no way, I didn't do that. And you're looking at the equipment we were using. From some people were still using flashers.
Yeah.
And some people were, you know, we first started getting those, you know, glass screen, you know, type units. It's fun. It's fun to go back.
It is really cool to see it. And we actually started fishing in the Federation together.
Yep.
We qualified, I think we fished a few divisionals in the BASS Federation back when it was all one program. And, you know, and it was really cool because we, you know, we kind of started at the same time and you know, we fished around each other at Bass, and you kind of moved over to FLW and made a made a career there. Fished plenty of Bassmaster tournaments along the way.
Yep.
And just had tremendous success. Being able to get in the winner's circle, I give you a lot of credit for that, because a lot of guys can be good, can be consistent, but man, you learned how to win early.
Well, I think winning is a big subject for me. Like, to win a tournament, especially now, I think you'll agree, maybe there was, back in the day, there was probably a legit, you know, most of your winners were probably going to come out of the top 40 like 40% of the anglers probably could win a tournament anytime. And a win is like so hard to come by. And I've been on a six year drought for a win, but the class of anglers that are there now, it's like on the FLW tour, we had 7 new tournament winners. Like, and probably in the last, if I include last year, we've probably had 21 new winners in the last, you know, few years. But I say that because the level of fishermen has gotten to a point where all, you know, a top 80% of them could win it, and it's just one hook set.
Yeah.
You know, we're both in the top 10, we're 1 and 2, you set the hook, you caught a 4-pounder, I set the hook, and I caught a 6-pounder. And I've always said in fishing, there's a factor of luck in fishing, and I'll go down swinging on this, is that big fish to me is luck, but you create your luck to catch more bigger fish by the more fish that you catch. So if I go out and I only got 10 bites, the chances of me catching 2-3-pounders out of 10 bites, not so much. But you went out, you learned how to get 20 bites, the chances of you catching 4-3-pounders is going to be greater, simply because you got more bites. Now, tournaments to me, it's almost like can turn into the one-hit wonders. Like, we know that in music, you got the one-hit wonders because everything lined up. They may have found a hole, and they just rode that hole out to a win. You have one-hit wonders is what I call them. But then you have anglers who have multiple win after multiple win. Mm. So that's not luck. You know what I'm saying? The luck factor is kind of thrown out. But you present yourself with the opportunity to catch more bigger bags over a course of a 3 or 4 day tournament or a whole season, that's what most anglers appreciate, is somebody who, not just that they won a tournament, but they, for 7 straight tournaments,
they caught them.
Whoever was angler of the year that year, like, wow, that was 28 days you caught them better than anybody else.
Yeah.
That's what's respected among anglers. But wins are, in my opinion, they're extremely hard to come by. and on, especially on the FLW Tour. Think about it. We got a
200 guys.
Yeah. The other tours have 70 and 70. We're fishing almost double the field, and to come away with a win and double the field when anglers nowadays, they can, you'll agree with this, Pete. So the YouTube world is crazy, right? I've got a YouTube channel, Ike's got a YouTube channel, we all got channels, and these younger anglers mm-hmm. are just, like, I wish I could have went up to Ike back in the day before YouTube. I would have loved to picked his brain. Mm-hmm. Ike, how do you catch him on a jig, and what do you look for? Nowadays, one click, Ike on how to fish a jig. There it is. Mm-hmm. And now I'm personal with Ike through a TV screen, and I learn through Bass University, and I learn everything I want to learn. Right there. Got it.
Right.
Okay. We didn't have that. No. It was trial and error.
Man, it was trial and error. It was trying to get with a mentor.
Yeah.
Guy that had been there for 30 years, maybe could teach you something.
Mm-hmm.
Reading Bassmaster magazine from cover to cover, trying mm-hmm. to get it. But you're right. The playing field is all risen. And now it's about being a good competitor, I think, you know, and, mm-hmm. and finding new and innovative ways to catch them. And
I think it's this. I think back in the day, to get to a seven angler, like a skill set of seven or mm-hmm. whatever, yeah, we had to work. And then I think you peak out at, like, a lot of anglers kind of plateau at seven, but to go from a seven to an eight skilled angler is extremely hard.
I agree.
And to go from an eight to a nine angler, you know, skill set angler, is like, whoa, you are separated yourself from the entire field. And then at year, like, so this year I'm bumping on a 10, you know, I won angler of the year, but you don't hit 10 many times in your life.
And stay there, able to stay there.
Exactly, and to maintain a 10 is like almost like impossible. But nowadays, to get to seven, they're skyrocketing to a level seven fisherman.
And even at younger ages than we've ever seen them.
Mm-hmm, that's what I'm talking about. And so even like on our side, we have 175 anglers. Dude, you may not know most of these 175 anglers, but there's some studs. Like yeah. any one of them can win on any given day. Mm. And so, yes, that skill set of seven to eight to nine, and much less nine to a 10. Mm. And I think the separation from the seven to the eights and all that is basically, and you'll probably agree, is that it is the decisions that we make on the water. It's our instinctual things that we do on the water that goes from a seven to an eight.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can know knowledge of bass fishing to a seven, but to take that knowledge and go, I need to pull my trolling motor up now and go fish here, that's getting in the eight category. And
right.
a lot of fishermen struggle with that part.
That decision making for the whole, it's always been the deal. The guys that can make good decisions are the key to rising to the top. And it's so important. I agree with you. And now it's even more important. And it's funny you say that, because you made the top 10 cut at Champlain, and you were smallmouth fishing, but Casey mm-hmm. Won the tournament
on largemouth
on a falling water situation. And he had to adjust the conditions every single day to make his fish bite. And that's how you get the wins. That's how you get to the eights and nines.
Yeah, exactly. He in that moment, he was making his adjustment, and where maybe a seven skilled angler was like, man, they were right here yesterday. Well, Casey said they were right here yesterday. I know they're still here. He made an adjustment early enough in the day. Boom, 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 boom. That's that eight. You're bumping on the eight. You're bumping on the nine of, you know, decision making. And and people want to say this, and I think people want David or Iconelli or whoever, hey, how do you know when to go and when to stay? And the first thing I tell them is, I said, you know, there's one thing in life you cannot teach. It's unteachable. What's that, David? Instinct. I cannot teach. It's unteachable. It's something you obtain through experiences that you have. Not, I can tell you, but the instinctual thing that says, hey, they were right here, I need to go right, I can't teach you that. I can say it all I want, but until you experience and do that yourself, then that instinctual is embedded in you, and you can take that in your next situation, and you're going to feed off your instincts a whole lot better to take you to that skill level.
And that's why guys, old guys like me, that's our advantage.
And me.
We have the experience, and it can, but it still can haunt you and make it hard on you, because a lot of times you go down that wrong path. You this year were as close to perfect as you could be, went down that right path. And before we got on, we were talking about some of the tools that you used to get there. And one of the tools that you used to get to the AOI this year is in the swim bait world.
Yeah, the swim bait world is, like, years ago when swim baits have been around forever, but we started paying attention to, like, companies started coming out with these pretty looking swim baits, you know, 15 years ago. And a lot of them worked and a lot of them didn't. And I started studying them in pools. I went to Olympic Pool at Liberty University, and I started studying these swim baits down 20 foot deep on a long cast. And I'd go down and snorkel, and I'm looking, and I'm like, underwater, I'm like, you're lying to me. Like, it wasn't even moving. So then I'd come back up and I'd be like, reel it. And then they're reeling it. And so I got to learning a lot about swim baits 15 years ago, and I knew which ones was lying and which ones were the truth. Because, so for example, people would throw a swim bait way out there, bring it, the swim bait would do this. And then when you're on the second half of your retrieve, you kind of, all right, I'm kind of done. And then they speed it up, and they, when it comes up to the surface, they're like, oh man, that looks gorgeous.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no. What it was doing down there, it was not happening. And
right.
So they think in their mind that that's what's going on. Mm. So it's been cool to study baits over the years. But to get back to the point is that swim bait technology has gotten good. Mm. So there's a lot of great swim baits out there. You know, I'm not going to sit here and go one swim bait is far superior than this. It's like everybody has raised the bar, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of good swim baits out there. But yes, probably one of my biggest players this year was swim baits. And it's like, it's almost like swim bait world has overtaken the hard bait, you know, like deep diving crank baits nowadays. It's, you don't hear much of it no more. Yeah, can you catch them on a yeah, you can. But people are throwing big boot tails, or whether it's finesse swim baits, like a small boot tail, you know, just a paddle tail of some kind, and that's what is dominating, in my opinion, is overtaking the world, because fishermen have gotten so smart, and lure companies have gotten so good at making lures that there's an air, it's like an evolution of when hard baits were dominating, and then now they've kind of, in a way, taken a back seat. Now, I'm not talking square bills, you know, like square bill and hard baits, you know, like little shallow wiggle warts. I'm talking kind of your offshore swim bait fishing.
Yep.
And then now it's, the evolution has switched to, they were killing them on the crankbaits. Now, after they get hooked, because think about this. I know I'm talking, are we on a timeline?
No, we're good. We're good,
okay.
Man.
So, think about this, if a crankbait, treble hook gets him two in this side, four in this side, that's four punctures. That's me taking a needle going four times. You gonna remember that.
Yeah.
Now I punch you one time with a needle, it sting, but I ain't gonna remember it as four treble hooks sticking in my, so you educate fish so much quicker with a treble hook, and then comes the power finesse, which is a swim bait world. They heard that big rattle and and then they get pinned,
yep.
You release them, and he hears coming through there again. He's like, hell no, get out of the way of that. So that's what I'm saying. I'm just giving an example of saying, hey, swim baits are a big role in today's fishing world and spinning rods.
Talk to us about the details. Like, what What kind of swim baits are you talking about? Big boot tails, little finesse swim baits?
Yeah.
What are we talking about?
Well, we name brands?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm not with any company, so I'm kind of neutral in talking about anything. But so we know the mag draft has been a very popular thing. You know, one of those things you can't even get your hands on them anymore. They're on eBay for $40, $50. Of course, you got your Kytec style swim baits, which I consider more of your finesse style swim baits. And so, like the mag draft. So the mag draft is very subtle. Like if you think about a 6XD or something, 6XD is like, like this. Then you got that very subtle mag draft. It's just like a fish cruising, like, life is good, man. I'm just kind of easy. No noise, no nothing. He looks up and he bites it. So you got, you know, very shallow movement baits that are just, you know, very finessey. Then you got your boot tails, which have a very, but you're typically talking, you know, in that world, you got a 2.8, a 3.3, a 3.8. Now they got the 4.3 and the 4.8. Me, I'm more of 3.8, 3.3, and 2.8. And I actually build my heads. I build and pour my own heads, and I tweak the molds out. I got a 2.8 Kytec head, a 3.3, you know, Kytec head, and a 3.8 Kytec head. That's how particular I am. Each hook is, it's that important to me.
Are these available?
Yeah, I actually make and pour them, and we sell them. My sons, they're the ones that sell them, so they got their little business that they do. Okay. It's pretty cool. They're homeschooled, so they make a little side money doing it.
Okay.
Yeah.
How can people pick them up?
Well, you can go to my website, daviddudley.com, or just, if you're interested in them, you have to pre-order them because my sons don't have, like, a bunch in stock, and you can just David Dudley. Typically just sell them with word of mouth, but.
Well. Yeah.
Hit me up, I'll tell you what, hit me up on Instagram, DM me if you're interested. I think it's $100 a kit, which we give you all three sizes, $100 a kit. Hit me up on Instagram and we'll ship them out to you.
Excellent. Well, you're talking about, man, a 2.8, that's a tiny little finesse swim bait.
Yeah, we build a motor for them that's like awesome. Like, I got 2.8 heads that even go up to 3/4 ounces, but it form fits a 2.8. Mm-hmm. So you can reel it really fast. So like say for spotted bass, you know, they're an aggressive fish and they, you know, a lot of times it takes the reaction bite. Well, the motor is the head of the swim bait, right? So like in motors we talk, I got a V8, right? Yeah. Like if you say V8, you're fast, your muscle, I got a V6, Well, the same thing is with jig heads. I consider them motors. So you got a 1/4, 3/8, half, whatever. We build motors for different situations for each different swim bait. So I got a 3/4 head with a 2.8 hook that fits in there perfectly, that if you need a fast 2-point, you know, down deep and coming through that school of fish fast, I got it. But that's how far we've taken it. It's a science to that swim bait stuff.
Well, you've really turned it into a science. When it, like, Brian Thrift talked to us. He did some stuff with us on the water recently. And he said his finesse swim bait fishing has pretty much replaced his shaky head fishing.
Mm-hmm.
He's throwing at that
sucker, man.
So often.
I bet you if that sucker's weighed in, whatever, 50 fish this year, 40 of them have come on a swim bait. He's a swim bait fanatic. Yeah, yeah, he is, man. That sucker loves them.
Well, he's fishing offshore. He doesn't even fish the bank anymore.
Nope.
Are you fishing these offshore? Are you throwing them on the bank? Where are you throwing them?
Most swim baits are probably in the 6 foot and out. You know, if I'm fishing the bank, I'm probably going to be throwing a Nico or Wacky Worm or, you know, Shaky Head or, you know, something, little bank beaters, top water baits. But you get on that outer perimeter of that, just running the bank line, like running it. Thrift hates it. I mean, he hates it. He ain't gonna be where he can hit that bank most of the time. And so, yeah, 6 to on it, whatever. as deep as you want to go.
Right. Is it a seasonal thing?
No, not a swim bait. Them suckers eat shad from January 1st to December 31st. Now the crawdads, when they get to, when the water gets below 50, mm-hmm. the crawdads start, they bury up for the winter. They're down in hibernation stage. That's why we love for the wiggle wart bite. Once that water gets start pumping 48-ish, and crawdads start coming out of the winter and going, whoo, man, it's been a long time down here. Next thing you know, they're eating. So the Kitech world is all year. It may slow down a little bit, mm-hmm. But there's always that crawdad time of year where you better be jig or swivel head or wiggle wart or, there's that time of year. They've been eating shad all winter long, and then all of a sudden here, if you would get tired of eating a hot dog for 6 months in a year, and all of a sudden there's a hamburger popping out, you're gonna go after that hamburger.
Well, you got a couple different sizes. When are you picking between a 2.8 and a 4.8?
If I'm on a spotted bass fishery, most time I'm 2.8 or 3.3.
Little guys.
Yeah. And if I'm on a largemouth fishery or, something like, I would say smallmouth is most time 3.3. But then if I'm on a largemouth fishery, 3.3 or 3.8,
okay.
Depending on if I'm at Gunnersville, of course, it's going to be a 3.8.
Yeah.
If I'm at Smith Mountain Lake or, not as big of a bass fishery, big, bump down to 3.3.
So you got the smallmouth spotted bass and the largemouth. Now you talked about retrieves. You talked about burning in some situations, get those aggressive spots. Mm-hmm. Do you have any? Could you teach us a little bit about the various retrieves? Whether it's slow rolling it, when you would do that, when you would burn it.
That comes back to that going from a 7 to an 8 angler. You hear Ike say it all the time. Fish the moment. Just fish the conditions that are there. Hey, if you're, everybody, first initial choice is to downsize. Like Linder, you say, scale down, way down. Like Al Linder, you say. But most people probably don't know who Al Linder is. We know who he is. But anyways. But no, that's one of those things where you have to let, most people think to go down, I'm throwing 1/2 ounce, I'm not getting bit, maybe I need to slow it down. Where it's completely the opposite, the slower you, they're like,
getting too good a look
yes,
at it.
Yeah, I see you. And when I say reaction, and basically all I'm saying is, when you throw it out there, most time I'm going up. The warmer the water, the faster you want to go most of the time. It's when the water starts, they're aggressive. When it's slow, cold, they're sluggish. So it's instead of going from 1/2 ounce to 3/8 and you're thinking you need to scale down, it's like, no, let's go from 1/2 ounce to 3/4 and rip it through them.
Yeah.
And then they're like, and then they bite it because they didn't have a chance to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a reaction. They saw contrast. And they were like, yep, and then you got them. So actually I'll tell you a story. So I won the championship on the James River. Last day I was throwing a spinnerbait. Larry Nixon come up to me. He goes, Moore, you been catching them things a spinnerbait? I said, yep, call them a spinnerbait. He said, what were you throwing? He said, you throwing 3/8 spinnerbait? I said, no. I said, they wouldn't bite a 3/8. I said, I had to use a 1/2 ounce. 1/2 ounce? You went to 1/2 ounce spinnerbait? I said, yeah. I said, in other words, even Larry Nixon was like, it was there again, even though you're throwing spinnerbait, the water was kind of clear. The slower it was like, nope, I almost fell for that.
Yeah.
I didn't. I almost fell for that.
They wanted it fast.
Faster.
You needed
faster.
To go fast to trigger the bites.
I knew where they were at and just the wood and the cover and the grass, and it was just one of those, you didn't give them a chance to look. You
mm-hmm.
didn't give them a chance to think about it or see if it was unnatural. It was like, yep.
Yep.
And then you got them. So I was throwing a 1/2 ounce, and he was even surprised that I was doing it. So
that's a great tip. The warmer the water, typically, the faster you're going to move.
Yeah.
When you're fishing these Kitex in the finesse world, what kind of are you spinning rod fishing? You bait cast fishing?
Yeah,
what's your
question.
Gear?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. If I'm using a bait caster and I'm way offshore or something, I'm going to be using 20-pound braid, gamma braid is what I like, and typically a 10-pound leader. Now,
okay.
I'm putting a 12, probably a 12-foot leader on it, but I am using braid, 20-pound braid. On a spinning rod, if I'm, say, throwing around floating boat dock, you know, or just, you know, maybe a little bit more specific, you know, if I'm just heaving out in open water, I like a bait caster. If I'm lining up my cast or wanting a certain angle or I'm wanting certain something, then I'll go to a spinning rod. And all my spinning rods are 15-pound gamma with, you know, typically 8 or 10 braid, depending on what I'm throwing.
Right. Well, good deal. Well, you know, I think a lot of guys are, you know, going to be trying swim bait fishing. It, like you said, they've been around forever, but the finesse swim bait world is taking over. If you want to get some of the baits that David talked about, the links are going to be right under us, you know, for our Bass University Tackle Shop. We'll have all the stuff and links, and we'll even link over to daviddudley.com so they can get the Kitex jig heads.
You'll see some of the stuff on the same channel. David Dudley Outdoors is my YouTube channel, which you can see some of that also.
Yeah, well, I invite all you guys to go over to David Dudley Outdoors and check it out. I've been watching some of your YouTube stuff, and it's great. I look forward to seeing what you're going to be delivering. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I think winning Angler of the Year qualifies you for the cup. Is that right?
This year?
Yeah.
I would hope so. Yeah, I'm going to actually head in there, you know, after the ICAST. I don't ever pre-fish anywhere, but I do for the cup. Just simply, it's super hot right now, and in 2 weeks, it's still going to be super hot. So
yeah.
Where you find them at now, good chance they're going to be there in 2 weeks. Most time, no time do I ever pre-fish. Never. I never do it. So.
Wow. That's pretty bold. Talk about that for just 1 second, because, you know, how long have you been doing that? Has that been your whole career?
Yeah, well, or maybe when I was 15, 20 years ago, I may have pre-fished some just because I was a little rookie. But no, and here's the most time we start in February or ballparkish beginning of the year. That is when the most change happens. And the best way I can illustrate weeks is that we know in spring you'll start seeing the buds of the tree, and then 5 days later, the leaves are, you know, you see a full leaf. Well, in the beginning of the season, there's so much change happening. Like, you know, the water temperature is coming out. There, you know, this is happening. And I found with a typical 2 week cutoff period for any tournament circuit, no matter what you're fishing, that 2 week, it's you end up fishing the past, which was 2 weeks ago, instead of fishing the moment or the now. And so you end up wasting a day of practice going, man, I caught them down this bank 2 weeks ago. And in your heart, you're like, they're probably not going to be there, but I want to go check that. So you check it, and you're like, I knew they won't go be there. But the funny thing about it was, that was 1 hour of your 8-hour day that wouldn't have been wasted if you would have let yourself fish the moment.
Right.
So that was a 1 hour of non-productive activity when that 1 hour could have been spent for productivity in this certain situation. And so pre-fishing hurts you more than helps you, but a lot of people struggle with that though.
Mm-hmm.
They feel in their, for confidence, oh, I gotta go look at the lake. For what? Like, when you drive around in practice, you're looking at the same thing you would have drove around. Now, the only places that I could feel, and we haven't been to it on FLW, is that maybe that place of where to go in South Carolina where they can run like 200 miles or...
Yeah,
you know, Winyah Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe something like that. We haven't had any, but I think if I was to be scheduled at Winyah Bay, I actually might do that. Just
learn how to run.
Well, yeah, just to look at it. But we got Google Earth, dude. I mean, Google Earth, you could sit at your computer and pre-practice all three river chains, you know? It's like...
Well, you've made a career out of fishing the moment. And you won another Angler of the Year title. Congratulations on that.
And, thank you.
And we're all going to be watching in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
See if you can win that championship.
Yeah, that would that would be good. I got one, like anything, I live by the motto, never be satisfied. If you got one, you want two. If you want two, you want three. You want three, you want four.
So, time to get another.
There you go.
Well, I appreciate you being here with us, buddy.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks again. We're going to hopefully
be... the second time, right?
What's that?
We're ending the show for the second time.
Yeah, did we end it before?
We tried to end it. We got distracted.
I know, I had to bring you back because you started talking about not practicing. I'm like, this is some big time stuff. People need to hear this.
Are you sure we're going to end it this time? No more questions.
I am not sure, but we're going to try. I appreciate you being with me. That's David Dudley. I'm Pete Kluzak for Bass University TV. The end.
Head over to BassU.TV, the premier learning destination in bass fishing. Over 600 in-depth videos geared to help you catch more and bigger bass. Use the promo code BassULive19 for 10 days free. That's BassULive19 to get BassU TV free for 10 days. Get the Bass University Advantage today.